Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. I am very grateful you chose to be with me on this very last day of broadcasting for Aspire on December 30th, 2018. And I'm humbled and grateful you chose to be with me. This is the last broadcast for the year. We're still working on whether or not we're going to be able to return next year to the radio airwaves. It depends on your, of course, your support. Our mystery donor is doing everything he can to help, and the question is, are you? There are many of you who listen to this radio program, and I know this because of our ratings, and I also know it because you contact me. And so I'm asking you to help us support this radio program to keep it on the air. We are seeking to raise money for our airtime. Our donor, our mystery donor, is matching. We're looking for people not only just to make a year-end donation that will be doubled this week, but for those of you who are kind enough to become sponsors. And a sponsor is a very special person. They are someone who supports the radio program either monthly or quarterly. And for their kind donation each month or quarter, and there are four quarters, obviously, we offer to you the message of the month that I make each and every month, and a copy of, my offerings that I made years ago on all of the TV programs, starting with the Heart of the Dow, going all the way up through the series, all of them, Nobody Likes You Anyway, A Life Worth Living. There are many, golly, The Eightfold Path of Buddha, The Sound of One Hand Clapping. There are so many series. Each has eight very distinct discourses, and all of them are there for you to enjoy and to hopefully find great insight in. You'll also get access to my commentaries. These commentaries are very, they're serious. And they're for people who are really searching and looking for the way that lives within. They're searching for their practice. They're maybe having difficulty in their practice. I talk about why. I talk about the difficulties of a spiritual practice, the whole thing. So it's all there for you to work upon. And I hope that you will have access to this, my podcast and my video casts. All of this is there for you as a sponsor. So there is a lot going on each and every month for you, and your donations keep this radio program on the air, and I hope that you will. And go to the website at aspire.org and find out more. Okay, you'll see it on the splash page. So here we go into this, quote, new year, and I often wonder what is new. I mean, really, when you look at it, what could possibly be new? We're the same old person all the time. We'd like to think we're brand new every day, or that somehow we can reinvent ourselves, and some people do reinvent. But that's just rearranging the furniture in the house. That doesn't mean you've moved out of the house or even out of the neighborhood. It's just rearranging the furniture. And I often wonder within myself at this new year, I do, you know, quiet work. What is new? Is there anything that is new within me? And what am I doing as I am facing another year? So I'm looking at my life from many different points of view, not just one, and I think my listeners are doing the same thing because I'm getting emails about the new year, and more this year, strangely enough, than any other year. And I'm not sure about why. I have an inkling why, but I could be wrong. I think it has a lot to do with the political climate in our country today and the mess that we're in, the kinds of situations we find ourselves in. And so here are some of the questions I've been getting. First one comes from Linda, again in LA. She listens to us a great deal. And by the way, she became a sponsor. Greg, I don't understand, with all of the world being the way it is and your message being contrary to the world, why do you bother to teach, Linda? And that's a very good question. I had not thought about it. Linda, there has to be a voice out there somewhere. There is a lot of people out there and a lot of noise telling you what you should be, what you can be, and what you will be. There's a lot of noise out there about what's happening in our world and the difficulties that are arising in our world and all of the corruption that is going on. Wherever there is a great deal of money, there is a great deal of corruption. And it has nothing to do with the money. It has to do with the people who are people of the money, as I call it. So I don't want you to get a bad idea about money. Like anything, we can use our life as an energy for great awakening, great kindness, great compassion, or great evil. And we're pointed more towards the evil than at any other time because we're overpopulated. And as, you know, Jacques Cousteau said, we are imploding upon ourselves. And that can't be helped. I don't think you're going to get the entire, you know, 7 billion people to understand the nature of kindness and even, just being polite to each other, I think sometimes is very hard. So why do I teach? It's a very, very powerful question. I will be snuffed out. I'm snuffed out through indifference and arguments about what I teach. I get snuffed out in people's lives and in this world based on the idea that what I might be teaching here, and you really don't know what I'm teaching unless you get into the commentaries and into my discourses that I do every month. But just listening to me here casually on the radio, you're not going to get the full Monty, as it were. So the reason I teach is because there's very few people out there teaching. The noise you're hearing is what you can be, what you should be, what you're missing. You know, you could have a better life. It's all about the worldly stuff. And I'm not really much about that worldly stuff, which makes it very difficult to sustain the radio program because it's not based in the idea of how to have a better life and get all the things you want. What I'm trying to offer you is personal transformation. It still has to be taught. Even though no one is listening, it still has to be taught, no matter what. And if it's not being taught, if it's not being offered, then people such as yourself, Linda, and others who are around you, who may be very few of them, maybe one out of 1,000, maybe one out of 10,000, won't be guided, won't have the chance to have the seed dropped in them. And I see myself, when I was a little boy, I used to watch, Disneyland, the Wonderful World of Disney or whatever it was. And I was introduced to the classic novel through Disney, Johnny Appleseed. And I always loved it. I always thought it was such a noble thing. And he planted seeds, apple seeds, wherever he went. And I happen to love apples. And I kind of looked at myself as I grew up, not intending to be this way, but finding myself in this way. I'm just dropping seeds, apple seeds, to germinate and grow here and there. Some will fall on fertile ground, some won't, as the parable goes that Jesus taught about the seeds. So, Linda, as long as there are people such as myself who are in this world and offering seeds of spirituality, and I'm not talking about the bogus stuff, like, I'm not going to get into the personas and the names of the people, but there are a lot of people out there that pawn themselves off as spiritual. Let me tell you the criteria for being authentically spiritual. the teaching will look like this. No one wants to hear it. No one can relate to it. Nobody wants it, and nobody sees the value of it. It is the pearl of great price that very few people can recognize is a pearl. Now, when you have lots of people who go, oh, I like what he said or she said, or I believe what he said or she said, and you find large groups of people massing towards that, you can know that the message is either being misunderstood or the teacher is just drawing crowds. That's all I'm going to say on it. There's lots of ways to make a ton of money off of the whole ideal of a spiritual practice, especially to people who know not what they do, and we're filled with a world of people who know not what they do. So you have all of this going, and there is no way I am going to be able to counteract all of that as a teacher. If you read my commentaries, they're very serious. My discourses are very, very serious, Linda. And I think you will find they're not going to be relevant to the lapsidaisical ideals that people have about spirituality. For most people, spirituality, anything that is authentically spiritual, is adopted as a philosophy. And that's merely what it is, pure philosophy. It is not something that drives them deeper and deeper, not as philosophy, not as intellectual understanding, but as an awakening, a deep spiritual awakening, a coming back to your origins, your authentic origins. And this just is not happening with most people. Most people don't even care about it. They don't see how it is relative to their life, how it's going to make them money, or how it's going to give them maybe something they want in the world, a better job, a better lifestyle. That's really all people are interested in, money coming easily to them and having a life of leisure. And that's all it's about, travel, eating what you want to eat, going where you want to go. My message, or the authentic message, well, if you go and you become a sponsor, let's say, well, you have. So go, I'm sorry, Linda, I forgot. Go and take a look at the series of TV programs and the listen to the discourses on the Beatitudes. There is a reason why they crucified Jesus, and it isn't because of mere, shall we say, curiosity as to see what God might do, as if God were pissed off. If you listen to those teachings, they're counterculture, they're counter logic and reasoning. They are precise, they are magnificent, they are beautiful, they are the path and the a blueprint to spiritual awakening. But who listens to them? Who even understands them? Not many. And not many people are much interested in living them. If you lived them, if you really lived them, Linda, oh my goodness. I have no words for it. I think they're the most magnificent teachings I've ever heard in my life. And if you can absorb them and let them ring true within you, find that place where they resonate, you will find within yourself deep meaning. That's why I teach. It is those moments. I've had students here and there have these little satori's. And when I see that starting to happen, I realize the value and the moment that I'm in. It is so magnificent to see them click into it and get it. That's why, Linda. Plus, to be honest with you, I'm not equipped for anything else. I'm a teacher. I always have been since I started when I was barely 21 years old. So there you are. I hope that helped you, Linda. Please forgive me. Namaste, and thank you for being a sponsor. The next one comes from Carol. Why do you live the way you do without being in your feelings? It seems to me you have none. Carol. Carol, that's one of the highest compliments you could give me, but it is not absolutely true. I have emotions. And just like, and I'm assuming that you mean, why am I not as emotional as blah, blah? Maybe other people are, the majority. I am as emotional as anyone else. I really am. I have my emotions too as a man. They're nutty, they're crazy, and I don't participate in them. The practice is not to rid yourself of your emotions. It is to learn how to discipline yourself, not to engage in the frivolous parts of your emotion, and begin to see what they are. They are necessary for the survival of my physical body, but they are not meant to serve as the feelings, the authentic feelings of my entire life, and I don't treat them as such. They are what they are. I have the emotionality of my genetics, Ed and Jean Penn, who made this body, and I came into this world through this body, and I have a lot of emotionality just like you. It bothers me, and it makes me weep when I see people being cruel to each other. It moves me deeply when I see them being kind to each other. Greg has a reaction to it. The difference is I see Greg for what Greg is, and I see his emotionality. I see how he wants to act out in that emotionality. I just don't get wrapped up in it. I still have it just like anyone else. And in my youth, I would, you know, get wrapped up in it all the time. And then I finally realized I don't want to do this anymore. One of the greatest mistakes we make, Carol, in our life, in fact, to me, the biggest mistake is confusing emotion with feeling. Feeling is something different. Emotions come from the chemistry of my body. They come from my neurotic side of my human nature. And all humans are neurotic. So I'm neurotic and I have all these conflicting emotions and thoughts about these emotions, yada, yada, yada. They're all very confusing and they berate me at times and they're very, very difficult. I have that just like anyone else on the planet. But the difference is I know what my feeling is. Emotions are feelings of the body. They are biological, and they turn into the psychological. But the feeling comes from one thing, and it is only one thing. It is the presence of silence within me. I live by my motto that I have created, and it is really very, very true. I live in simplicity, I live in solitude, and I live as silence. And if you live in those three things, you're going to awaken. And you're not going to look at your emotions and even give them the time of day. They will become, far less important than they ever were before. You won't look at them and think, oh, I must feel this. I must have this. I must da-da. You won't. You will just see them for what they are, a part of the human nature. You will not condemn it. You will not condone it. Nati, nati, neither this, neither that. They will just be there as a part of the human experience. But you will act independently from that. I act independently from it. I work at hospice. I see tragedies every day. It isn't death that is the tragedy. It's the way we live our life that is the great tragedy. And death is a part of living that life. And we don't do it very well. If I'm all emotional about it, I can't help anyone. But if I'm away from my emotions, if I can sit in the feel, I can see the situation far more clearly. And I don't need to find fault or right or wrong or good or bad. I find the sanctity of my heart, my authentic heart, in everything. And I don't waste time. I just don't waste time trying to be emotional and get what's seemingly and logically, morally right or whatever. So emotions are about what we believe is right. Feeling is about the truth. And if you understand the difference between right and truth, you will understand what I'm talking about here. Thank you, Carol, for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Dan, and he does not tell me where he lives. Can you really help people? Really? Dan. It depends, Dan. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he realizes that the teachings Jesus offered were uncanny. They were amazing. And he said to Jesus, no man, you know, can teach these things unless they are special. He was right. So he wanted to know, how do you do this? How do you get involved in this? And Jesus said that a person had to be born again. Nicodemus did not understand that. He said, how can a man enter into the womb a second time? He was taking it literally and metaphorically. He knew you can't get into his mother's womb again. He knew that. But he was saying metaphorically, how's that possible? Everybody looks at life from the physicality of it, the emotionality, the psychology of it. You can't help people there. What is the old Indian saying, and it's so true, you can give a man a fish, but it's important to teach them how to fish. I say, give the man the fish, teach them how to fish, and teach them the third thing, why the fish is there in the first place, to see the bigger picture. In all the years that I have done broadcasting, radio, TV, I don't know if I've really helped anyone. I really don't. I highly doubt it. Not in the way I would like to teach or help someone. But no one can. Jesus couldn't. Buddha couldn't. All we can do, as I said earlier, is offer you little seeds for you to germinate in and to practice in your own life. And if you do that, if you can live in that way, if you can allow me to give to you that which lives within you, if you can understand the whole idea of simplicity, solitude, and silence, you can change your life. And I'm not talking about your physical life. You can change the way you look at life. You will be born again. This time, not of the womb, but of the heart, the authentic heart. And to me, that's really what it's all about, the authentic heart. So, can I really help people? Can any of us really help? Well, we can give people a fish, and they often need that, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with helping people with money or helping them with their lives, the people who had great tragedies, their homes burned down and all of that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a wonderful thing. But it's from where I do give that matters. If you leave it right there and you don't teach people how to forgive and give themselves, the very people you're helping, then you've only helped maybe a fourth of the person. And we need people who help all of the person. And not everybody's going to get it because there is a lot of stupidity out there. I'm out of here. I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful New Year's, a very safe one. I'll be in meditation with my group here at my home, as we do every year. I hope to return to you next year. Have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful New Year's. Please forgive me for everything, huh? Namaste.